Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube. Points in their last seven, four wins in a row. This Flames team is red hot, and boy, is it great to be a Flames fan right now. Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered episode 105, a Wednesday night, 9:50, 8:15, what am I talking about, and 15 minutes later than we usually do. I'm sorry, I was at a junior hockey game tonight, and it went a little longer and a few tussles tonight, a little bit wild. Home team wins 5-1, and good hockey game, and raced home, and ready to go here for the show. We're talking Flames hockey, and I've been gone a couple weeks, and I apologize. I hate not being here for a normal routine weekly show, which we usually do Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock Mountain Time. And in Florida the last couple weeks, and it was not scheduled for this time. It was scheduled back in August, but due to COVID reasons, it got switched to last week, and so we missed 2 weeks of the show. And of course, it's the busiest damn week for the Flames as they're on a long road trip. But I can tell you one thing: it's pretty damn nice sitting on the deck with a cold one in Florida at night, watching the Flames win. It was warm. It was nice. It was enjoyable. But it was good to get back. It was good to get back to normal hockey routine and everything. And Saturday night I was back from vacation, and the Flames helped open the door at the UBS Arena to take on the Islanders. And I don't know, I'm not an Islanders fan, but I've always kind of had a little soft spot for them because I don't like the Rangers. So, you know, you kind of feel for them. But, it was almost 50 years ago on October 7th, 72, when the Atlanta Flames defeated the Islanders 3-2 at the first ever game at Nassau. And now the Flames go into UBS Arena and knock off the Islanders in the first game in the new arena. I will say about Saturday night's game, it was intense. It was as much of a playoff hockey atmosphere as you're going to get in the regular season, in my mind. All in all, just a great game. Fans were into it. It was rocking. It was great. Fun game. Before we get into the show today, I got something important to talk about, and that's Hockey Fights Cancers. We are in November, and November's drawing to an end, but it's not too late. We need to get out and donate. Flames Unfiltered has done their part, and I challenge you now to get on to hockeyfightscancer.com. You can get out of flamesunfiltered.com. There's a link to it, and make your donation. Any amount helps. And you can get it entered into a chance to win an NHL All-Star package as a bonus, and that would be a lot of fun. But cancer affects so many. Do your part to help. Here at Flames Unfiltered and Inside Edge Hockey Media Group, we're committed to doing our part, and every little bit helps. We appreciate any support that Hockey Fights Cancer can get through this show. On today's episode, we're going to quickly recap a ton of Flames games, talk about the last couple of them, and which were wins, which is damn nice again. And then we'll discuss Yusuf Alamaki and the saga there. Free Yuso, you're seeing all over social media. I'm going to give you my take on it, and some of you are going to like it, some of you aren't. And I think I've got some interesting insight into it. We'll see. And then we'll talk about the Flames and the amazing year that they've put out in the first 20 games and some random super stats. I just was going through everything Flames this week, and I just put together a hodgepodge of super stats. Stats we never thought at the beginning of the year we'd be achieving. We're going to touch base on that, and hopefully we'll keep that success going into the next quarter of the season, and bring it on home and into a great playoff run. We'll talk about Iginla getting inducted to the Hall of Fame, and we'll roll on into some Flames news from the Pacific, a listener question on what line Sean Monahan should play on, And we'll wrap with a preview of Saturday night. It's not Wednesday night. Tonight's Wednesday night. Saturday night's big hockey night in Canada matchup at the Saddle Dome against the Winnipeg Jets. And that should be a really, really good matchup. I don't know why even before that playoff series, in the bubble where we beat the Jets, it's always been a fun matchup. Some good intense matchups against the Jets, and, Saturday night I expect nothing less. Alright, Flames fans, let's quickly roll through a recap of what's happened over the last couple weeks as we've been on a little hiatus. So I'll roll through some scores. Of course, 2 weeks off, they can rattle off 11 games in 3 weeks. Oh my goodness. First was a Dallas victory in overtime over Calgary, 4-3 in Calgary, and the Calgary pumped the Rangers 6-0. That was a great game to watch. And then San Jose came to town, upset the Flames 4-1. Calgary goes on into Montreal as they start their road trip. Gets beat 4-2. Lose the next night to Toronto 2-1 in overtime. Gather a point there. Then head on up to Ottawa. Pump them 4-0. Lose to Philadelphia 2-1 in another overtime loss. Beat Buffalo 5-0. That resets us back to last Saturday night when Calgary rolls into Long Island to open up UBS Arena. And Brad Richardson, he scores the first ever goal in the arena. He will be the trivia question thing down the road if that ever gets asked. I don't know if it will, but good game. I thought Calgary played a really solid game. I was worried. Did you guys see in the second period, Markstrom went down to make a save as, I can't remember who it was, but I believe Sean Monahan was the Flames player that went into the net too, and Markstrom looked like he grimaced and looked like he was in pain, looked like a pulled muscle in the groin area. And I was like, oh no, here we go. He stayed in the game. Everything looked good and, did not play the next night in Boston. I thought they'd give him the night off when they got back to the Saddle Dome to take on Chicago, but, he was back in the net and looks to be healthy. Calgary did win that game 5-2, although they were outshot 36-31. Markstrom with another win. Andrew Mangiapane get the game-winning goal as that guy is red, red hot. Flames roll into Boston for their first matchup with the Bruins this year. Of course, it was a hot mic watch party as the fans joined me as watching that game together on hot mic. It was a lot of fun. Gave out some great prizes. We do that every time we do a watch party. We do 10 every year. This was the final game of the 7-game road trip, and Calgary was amazing. Honestly, I think it was the best we've seen from this group all year. They knock off the Boston Bruins 4-0. Vladar gets a start, another shutout, his second shutout in a row. Johnny Gaudreau with the game-winning goal, and Calgary was ultra, ultra impressive in this one. And then, was it last night? Yeah, last night, Calgary is back home, one day off after the long road trip, back on the ice. Man, you worry about a letdown. You worry about, you know, if you're going to have the legs to show up. Chicago in town. Chicago, I think, winners of 4 of their last 5 after a disastrous start for the Blackhawks. And, first game after that 7-game road trip. Calgary comes out on top. 5-2 outplayed Chicago for what I thought was most of the game. That Calgary was really bad in the second period for a stretch. Battled through it. Markstrom with the win. 5-2. There was 3 empty net goals. It was kind of an ugly, not so perfect win, but it's 2 points that I'm convinced this team doesn't get last year. They don't. This team finds a way to lose this game last year. But not this year's team. This year's team is intense, never let up, and super impressive win as they gather another 2 points, 4 wins in a row for this team, and this Flames team is good. All right. This is the hot button topic in Calgary. And I'm going to preface it by saying, why no matter what? And I kind of consider the Flames market a little bit better than a lot of markets. I got to be, if we're not really filling the arena right now and it's pissing me off. And then number two is this, that when things are finally going good for a team, which, let's face it, guys, every single thing has went good this year. We've had no injuries. Our top end guys are producing. Our bottom six are producing. Hell, our fourth line was our best line in against Chicago. Everything's going good. Our goaltending's amazing. Everything. Name me one thing that's not working. Everything's going good. But we find something to fuss and complain about. We're worried about Monahan. I knew it was going to come up this week, and it already has happened. Blake Coleman's not scoring now. That's a problem. We're paying him too much. I don't know, guys. Come on. We're winning hockey games. This week's hot button topic, Juuso Välimäki. I'm going to preface this. I have always had high hopes for Juuso Välimäki, and I still do. And I'm going to make a bold prediction at the end of this. I really like him. I always have. I think he works hard. And he's faced a ton of adversity with injuries. Last year, he didn't get to play till the end of the year. He was went over to Sweden and played and was really, really good. Came back last year and struggled. I pegged him as Rookie of the Year candidate last year. That didn't happen. He struggled. I don't think he was horrible last year, but he struggled. When Sutter came to town, Sutter gave him a rough ride. He didn't put up with the turnovers and didn't play him. And this year, he got plenty of opportunities in camp and was adequate, but still looks flustered out there. Now, he got into the game the other night against Boston after, I meant to write it down, I can't even remember how many nights, but 11, I believe, out of the lineup. And he looked like I expected. He looked anxious, worried about every single play, did not look calm, cool, and collected. I guess that's understandable, right? But now, all over social media, I see free Juuso this, free Juuso that. He deserves to play. Well, let me ask you this, guys. Why does he deserve to play? Because he's a high draft pick? In 2017, he was picked by the Flames in the first round as a 16th overall pick. But just because he was a high pick, does that mean he gets a free pass and gets into the lineup when he hasn't earned a spot? I don't think so. I like Juuso Välimäki. I think he has great upside. Not probably as much upside as I originally had thought. But for gosh sakes, look at what Shillington's done. 85% of the fan base had him written off and gone, right? Hell, half of the organization had him written off and gone. He cleared waivers twice. But Juuso Välimäki. I think we need to do something in Calgary because we did the same damn thing to Sam Bennett. We created these uber sensitive, like uber over the top expectations for Sam Bennett. And watch his every single thing he did, and we bitched at him every time we did. Listen to the call-in show on 960, which I love, by the way, and Pat Steinbrink does an awesome job. Freaking Sam Bennett got run through the ringer. Now we're not Valimaki's probably not getting as much time as all of us expected, but because he's a high draft pick, we think, well, we got to put him in because he was a high draft pick, and we got to have patience with him, and this and that and this and that. What I think we need to do is forget about where we draft people, because if that's the case, then Wolf will never play in net for us because he was a seventh rounder. Andrew Mangiapane, probably shouldn't play him. He wasn't a high draft pick. Quit focusing on when we pick people in the draft, you guys. We need to put the best lineup out every single night. And Daryl Sutter has done that. And he said at the beginning of the year, you earn your time. I don't care who you are, you earn your time. Zadorov struggled, boom, out of the lineup he went. It's earn your spot, and I like that, because that's what winners teams are built around. Now, will this stunt Yusuf Valimaki's development? Probably. But can we risk trying to develop him and struggle through it right now when things are going so well? I don't think so. Is it the right choice for the future? Probably not. But quite honestly, fans, I don't give a shit about the future. I want to win now. Is that maybe a bit one of our problems in Calgary, is we worry so much about the future that we don't worry about winning now? Heck, half the talk this year has been, how are we going to sign Tkachuk? How are we going to sign Gaudreau? What are we going to do with Monahan? Where can we get that cap space? Come on. It's going to be difficult to do all those things, but we can't really worry about it right now when we're winning hockey games, can we? We have a chance to win the Stanley Cup this year, like all of the teams do. And no, I'm not being over, whoa, it's 20 games in, I get it. We still may not make the playoffs. But things look damn good right now, and we need to just be thankful for that. People are calling for Valimaki to get traded. Really, guys? We're just going to throw this asset away just because we're not using him right at the moment? I'll tell you something right now. I am convinced that we are going to need Yusuf Valimaki this year. We're going to need him to be very good. And he is going to have an opportunity probably to be an integral part of our playoff run. Because defensemen don't grow on trees and injuries happen. We haven't had any injuries this year. Stone's going to be critical and Valimaki are going to be critical. You don't need six defense for a long playoff run. You need nine. Ryan Burke said it 100 times and he knows what he's talking about. And you know what I'm also convinced? That if Yusuf Valimaki keeps the right attitude through this difficult time, that he's going to come out stronger and a better player for it. I really believe that because I think he's a good, good player. But come on, fans. Let the coach make his decisions. We're winning. How do we complain right now? We need to focus on wins. Calgary needs to quit playing and loving players' potential and start focusing on current production. Valimaki's a good player, and Valimaki will get to play. And I think once he's able to get in there and gain in some confidence, he'll even grow tenfold, just like Shillington has done. It'll happen. Relax. Valimaki will be fine. And hopefully the Flames can keep healthy and have a fight for defensemen to get into the lineup. Because that competition is healthy. All right, Flames fans. There is a ton of good things going on in Calgary right now. And second of all, if you're watching the show live, like, interact. Hit the comment button. I'll answer some questions. You can tell me I'm crazy about Valimaki or tell me I'm right there. Whatever your point is, let's talk. So fire those off as I go through these super stats. So 20 games in, did anybody think that Calgary would have 29 points, be 12-3-5, and leading the Western Conference, much less the Pacific Division. No. Daniel Vladar has become the first goaltender in franchise history to start his tenure with a five-game point streak. He's been amazing as a backup. And that was one of the big question marks at the beginning of this year. For me and everybody else, we were like, I don't know who this guy is. Does anybody know who this guy is? God, I kept telling myself every night, oh shit, I didn't know who Kiprusoff was either. The Calgary Flames became the first NHL team since the offensive forward pass was allowed in 1929 to record 7 shutouts within a 19 game period. Since 1929. I didn't even know. Back then, they didn't even allow a forward pass in hockey. Think about that. How hard would it be to score if you couldn't pass it forward? Did you guys know that the line of Tkachuk, Lindholm, and Gaudreau hadn't allowed a goal against them? They had, at that point, I think it was 13 goals for, hadn't allowed a goal against them until just last night, a 16-game point streak. And Reese Johnson scored his first ever goal. And it was the first 5-on-5 goal that had happened while Gaudreau, Lindholm, and Tkachuk were on the ice. 20 games into the season. Those are unbelievable stats. Unbelievable stats. Johnny Gaudreau is fourth in points with 22. Mangiapane second in goal scoring right now in the league. Markstrom's first in shutouts. Lindholm leads the league with a plus minus of 18. It's a hell of a good season to be a Flames fan, wouldn't you say? Draisaitl's got 18 goals. He leads the league. Mangiapane 15 in second place. He's tied for second. Now, this could have changed tonight. This isn't counting tonight's games that are going on. Overall points, Draisaitl 36. Johnny Gaudreau's in fifth with 23. Who saw that coming? I didn't. I was probably Gaudreau's biggest critic. Hell, Gaudreau's been doing things. It's not even on this stat thing that are more amazing than these stats. Is I've seen him throw 3 solid checks this year. He laid out Eric Hall the other night in Boston. Couldn't believe it. I fell off the couch. You know what probably is the most... I shouldn't say the... It's a horrible way to say it. You want to know what one of the craziest stats is? That through the first 20 games, this is the most points in franchise history. We're 2 shy of the most points in franchise history. We had 29, and the franchise history is 31 in 2001-02. A year we didn't make the playoffs. So keep that in mind, right? We're 20 games in. We got to keep it in perspective. But a lot of people come up to me and say, how about your Flames? I'll be like, yeah, so far so good. And they'll be like, well, aren't you excited? I'm like, yeah, I'm really excited. We're 20 games in. Check back at 62 games in. Now, I'm not saying that I think they're going to go south. I don't. I think this team is cock-loaded and ready to roll. They're playing a system. They're believing in the system. And you want to know what's really clicking with this team? And the reason it's working so well? Accountability. We finally have a coach that if, I don't care who you are, what player you are, if you're not producing or you're not doing your part, he'll call you out. No one wants to get called out. So instead of getting called out, we'll just bust our ass and do our job like we should have been doing the last 10 years. It's called accountability. This team has it right now, and it's equaling wins. All right, we're going to touch briefly on the Hall of Fame induction as this week, well, actually a week ago, Jarome Iginla was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Iginla had 626 25 goals in his career, 675 assists, 1,300 points. A longtime Calgary Flame and a guy that, man, if you follow the Flames, you have so many memories of Jerome Iginla. A couple that stick out for me is that a never say die goal in the 04 finals where he was able to gather the puck behind the net and stuff it around. And that one stands out. The pass, of course, in the Olympics from the corner out to Crosby for the game winner. The fight against LeCavalier, that's probably what he's known for the most, which is somewhat silly because it wasn't even close to, the biggest thing in his career that was just an amazing, amazing career. But the guy could do it all, man. He could fight, he could hit, he could score, he could lead. He's a true power forward and, class act off the ice, on the ice. Did everything. True leader, great human being. And, congratulations, Jerome Iginla, on the Hall of Fame induction.
Hey, hockey fans, check out the Debate Hockey Podcast. Hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars debate all the happenings throughout the hockey world every single week on the Debate Hockey Podcast.
All right, Flames fans, time for a little bit of Flames news. You got questions, you fire them off. I see my good buddies and listeners of the show, Adam and Justin, have joined in, and Adam agrees with putting the best roster out every night, and Justin agrees that Valimaki will eventually have his shot and get his time in Calgary. But right now, with the way the lineup is going, it's you got to keep rolling with what we got going, and I couldn't agree more, Justin. I just I wish that everybody else, I don't want to say would see the light on that, but like I just think that like let's just be patient, man. Like things are going well. Like this isn't a time to be bitching. We've had years and years to bitch. Let's finally put a smile on our face and. Get excited and get out to the Saddle Dome and watch his hockey team because it is ridiculously exciting. In Flames news, Dion Phaneuf has officially announced his retirement after 14 NHL seasons. The physical, hard-nosed defenseman spent 5 seasons in Calgary and was a first-round 9th overall draft pick by the Flames in 03. Dion Phaneuf had some really good years in Calgary and then was moved on to Toronto. And in return, I believe we got Stajan and... can't remember who else was part of that deal. And then a congratulations goes out to Elias Lindholm, who played his 600th career game last weekend. Elias Lindholm, 64 goals, 188 points in 374 games in Carolina. And I like his numbers better in Calgary. 83 goals, 198 points in 225 games in Calgary. Elias Lindholm, one of the best 200-foot forwards in the National Hockey League, and now making a name for himself as a number one center in the league, a first line center in this league, a position that's tough. And do you guys think that Lindholm has silenced the critics and proven that he can be a first line center? I love what he's done. He's unbelievable. I don't know. I mean, what's it going to take? I mean, this guy is doing everything out there, and it's great to see. What are we at here? Another awards this week. Johnny Gaudreau gets the first star of the week. Johnny put up 4 goals, 3 assists, 7 points in 4 games. That is a point production that is very, very well. Johnny Gaudreau, third number one star of the week. Ilya Samsonov and Cale Makar round out the top 3 stars. And it's been a while since we saw a Flames player hold that number one star. It's good to see Johnny Gaudreau in a contract year. I'll tell you what, Johnny, you're going to really piss me off if we re-sign you, give you the money, and fall back to where you were last year because you've been magical this year, and if we could re-sign you and have you like this all the time, we would love it. Let's talk about the division. Standings. And I don't talk about the standings every single week, but I definitely like talking about them when we're atop the standings. Calgary sits in first place, 29 points in 20 games, winners of their last 4 points in their last seven. In second place, the Edmonton Oilers with 26 points. They've played two less games than us, though. Anaheim, who saw that coming? Anaheim sitting in third at 23 points. Vegas in fourth with 22. San Jose in fifth with 19. Los Angeles with 19 in sixth. Vancouver with 14 in seventh. Wow, the Canucks, oof. That's a bad, bad thing going on in Vancouver right now. And don't feel bad for them because they're one of our rivals, but oof, it is bad, bad. Seattle running, looking like an expansion team, 11 points in 18 games. Projections for playoff percentage. According to The Athletic, it looks like the division's pretty much figured out. Edmonton's got a 95% chance of making the playoffs. Calgary in 91. Vegas in 86. Anaheim a 38. San Jose a 27. LA at 18, Seattle a 13, and Vancouver a 5% chance of making the playoffs. Edmonton loses Darnell Nurse to injury this week. He's out week to week. Mike Smith also injured, a little bit more long term for him. Troy Terry, Anaheim forward, been amazing this year. 15 game point streak, and Connor McDavid ended his point streak last night, or two nights ago, with 17 points. Crazy. JT Miller trade rumors flying all over the place. And it's been rumored that he's going to Minnesota for Fiala. I've even heard Besser's name mentioned in some trade talk. Man, and Travis Green is on the hot seat in Vancouver. It is a mess. It is a mess down there. One last thing. Evander Kane is on the trade block in San Jose. They'll even said that they will retain a salary. We'll see what happens there I don't know what'll happen there. I think he's played his last game in San Jose. I think he's a good hockey player. I just think he's a good human being. And man, I would hate to see Calgary go knocking on his door and try to get him. That would be a not so good thing. Got a listener question coming up here from a gentleman in Kelowna, but let's get to Justin's question as he's firing in live. I'm going to read it because it's long. And then I'll answer it as we go. Question on the opinion with the third line. As many has an issue with Monahan as a third center, and Dubé limited as a secondary backup center play in the wing. Would Calgary make a move to solidify and having a better winger instead of Pitlick, as he hasn't produced that way, but defensively responsible though? Does Calgary solidify a more point-producing winger or don't change anything until closer to the trade deadline? And if so, who fills that role within or through trade waiver, etc.? Okay, good question. Couple things in that question. I don't think Monahan gets moved. I don't think anybody wants Monahan. I don't think we'd get anything from Monahan. I'll dive further into Monahan's thing when I answer Marcus's question here in a minute. As for Dubé playing center, I think he's capable of it. I don't know that it's the right time for that. I think it's something that he can continue to work more in, because Dubé really particularly hasn't been having a great, great season. He hasn't been bad or anything, but he hasn't having a great season. You mentioned Pitlick. I'm going to maybe throw a wrench into your Pitlick comment. You think, in your question, it said you need to make a move to solidify on having a better winger instead of Pitlick. I think Pitlick's been really good. I do. Now, I didn't expect Pitlick to put up a bunch of numbers, but Pitlick does a lot for that line. And he's getting better, I think, every single night. He moves the puck well. He's fast. He's a big body. He's not afraid to get his nose in there. I love what Pitlick is doing. Now, do I think we need another winger? Probably. Would it be great to have a solid scoring winger? Well, sure. But we don't have a lot of cap space, and what would we have to give? I mean, no, we can't give Monahan and Valimaki and get a top-end scoring winger because, number one, nobody wants Monahan's salary. So, like, do we want one? Yeah. Can we afford one? I don't know. We'd have to have some maneuvering going on. Would it be... I don't know. I mean, that's just a tough question because right now I don't even want to rock the boat. I mean, things are good. I love a lot of this lineup when I look at it, which in a way surprises me because I was down on Richardson. I was down on Lewis. Those guys have been great. I mean, I watched that fourth line last night when it was Lewis, Richardson, and Lucic, and like, they held the zone, and they were amazing last night. I've been super, super happy with that. Do I think we'll add one? I think it's going to be a hell of a hard trade deadline this year. I mean, not a lot of teams have money. Yeah, I think there'll be some moves, and I think we'll solidify some things. And I guess I'd like to see something happen if we could get a more prolific scorer on the wing. I just don't know what it would cost us. And if we could fit it under the cap, we'll see. I'd love to see, I mean, I love everything that Coleman's doing. I know he's getting some heat now for not putting up a bunch of points. I'd love to see him get a few more points, but, it's just really hard to complain about anybody right now. I mean, it just really is. It's hard to find a person on this roster where you're like, just this guy's not playing well. It's probably pretty easy on Monahan. And that'll segue into the question that Marcus Steckel from Kelowna, BC asked. And he said, where do you think is the best fit right now for Monahan? And, we're really not numbering the lines anymore, are we? We're kind of rolling four lines. And that's one of the things that's been great this year. But I don't mind him with centering Dubé and Pitlick. Is this line putting up a ton of points? No. I think they're creating offensive chances, though. And I actually kind of like this line. And I think this line, and maybe I'm the only one out there, but I think this line's getting better every time. I don't mind Monahan on the power play, although they've kind of shuffled that a little bit, too. But I'm tired of these labeled lines. I mean, you know, if you look at time on ice, it's getting distributed pretty well. And Sutter I don't know how many of you guys noticed this, but I looked at, I'm a big time on ice guy, 5-on-5 time on ice guy. And I watched it as we went through this 7-game road trip. And as we got deeper into the road trip, when it started to get a little bit more physically taxing, the numbers spread out. So everybody was getting equal amount of playing time, and we just kept rolling them and rolling them and rolling them. When you have labeled lines, I think, and it's, you know, this is our first line, this is our second line, this is our third line, and God, this is our fourth line, and we don't like to usually have them alter too much. That usually means your team sucks. When you have depth and you have quality lines and you can put together quality lines, four quality lines, it really doesn't matter like what they're labeled. You just keep rolling them. And that's what runs teams down. And is Monahan producing like we want him to? Hell no. Is it reflective salary? No. But seriously, you guys, Milan Lucic, although he's having a great year, and he was pretty good last year, and I like what I've seen in the second half of last year and this year. Is he living up to his salary? No, but that's not his fault. He's doing the best he can. And what we're forgetting is Monahan's had a lot of injuries. And I'm not defending Monahan. I'm not happy with his play. As a matter of fact, he used to be one of my favorite players. I had an autographed jersey hanging behind me, and I got mad and took it down. He needs to be better. But there's nothing we can do about that right now. He's not awful. He's not hurting us. So you keep going, and you keep winning hockey games with him. This guy's got a great attitude. He's playing less minutes than he's ever played before, and he's not complaining and bitching about it, causing locker room problems, and that's pretty good. He works hard. He's fairly effective in the faceoff circle. We love Lucic when he's not putting up numbers. You know, I think we need to focus more on the positives because we got a lot of them this year. Another question, I don't mind the third line, but through other podcasts and articles, it always seems to be a targeted third line and our fourth line. So curious how you felt. We can label them what you want. I mean, yeah, I'd say that the Richardson, Lucic and Lewis is our fourth line. They're out there in the grinder, those roles, and they do a great job. And I think, you know, Backlund and Mahjupani is going to be our, and Coleman is our second line for sure. And I think that, you know, Monahan, Dubé, and Pitlick is our third line. You label them what you want. Each of these lines does a different thing. And I think that, you know, things are good. We're deep. We're deep. We're deep for once up front. We're deep. Another question I'll have to disagree with you and not complain about anyone. The one person I feel is Hanifin and has taken a step back this year, and maybe it's just because he's not with Tanev and has made some pretty costly mistakes. What's your thought on him? You know, I would agree with you. I think Hanifin's not where he was last year. I don't know if I'd call it a step back. I think a big part of it is with that you're not, he's not with Tanev. Tanev is the guy that I don't want to say protects out there. But he's a calming presence. He takes care of a lot of situations quickly and easily. I think one of the things that's really been good that our defense has done this year is made a conscious effort of when they gain control in the defensive zone that the pass is quick and we're moving the puck out of our zone quickly. We've been really good at that. Has Hanifin been as good? No. Well, no, I don't. Yeah, I would agree with you. I don't think he has. But is every player going to have ups and downs throughout the year? I think so. Go through stretches, don't we? I think Hanifin's got a super bright future. We all forget his age. We forget his age way, way too quickly. And he's maybe mad a couple times this year. Yeah, he has. But all in all, I think he's been fine. I think Anderson has taken a step back. I think last year he fell back, and now this year he looks good again. And maybe Hanifin is, you know, is not looking quite as good as he did last year. But I don't think that's going to be a long-term thing. I really don't. But appreciate all the questions. Justin, Adam, everybody that's fired in questions, Marcus, everybody. Some good Flames talk. And, yeah, it's always fun to kind of hash these things over and get people's opinions because they're not always the same, are they, guys?
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, guys. Time to wrap the show up here and preview this weekend's action as Winnipeg comes to the Saddle Dome on the 27th. That's Saturday night for a hockey night in Canada. Tilt should be a good one. Winnipeg 9-6-4. They got shut out tonight. Calgary 12-3-5 now. Yeah, 12-3-5, right? That should be a good one. Then we also stay at home for the final game of a short homestand before we go on the road again out down to the California swing. Pittsburgh comes to town Monday night, the 29th. That's at 8 p.m. at the Saddle Dome. Pittsburgh has played Calgary once this year earlier in October, the 28th to be exact. And, Calgary went into the PPG Paints Arena and shut out the Pens 4-0 in a really, that was one of the better outings of the year thus far. And, hopefully we can duplicate that on Monday night. But boy, Saturday night, we got to get the Saddle Dome rocking as the Jets come in. And that's going to be a really, really good one. Speaking of good times, you know what? You got to join us on a Flames Hot Mic watch party. The next one's December 2nd when Calgary visits the Los Angeles Kings. That game, 8:30 Mountain Time. Watch for further details on the show next week. Join in on the fun. Talk Flames hockey. Interact. Have a good time. It is all on the Flames Unfiltered watch party. I give away hockey cards every single night. I give away... We have contests to win shirts, hats, $100 gift cards. We got it all on there. Make sure you get in to be part of that. It's a good time. Meet some other Flames fans that are, you know what, really, really good, good people. A lot of fun. We look forward to having you join us for that. Coming up quick is that's on December 2nd as Calgary visits LA. You know, we're also going to do some giveaways on the podcast too. So join in on the podcast and, I'm going to give some hockey cards away probably next week on the podcast. I think that sounds like a good idea. I like giving stuff away. It's American Thanksgiving tomorrow. We got to do our part here in Canada here. Let's give some stuff away next week. Speaking of next week, we're back next week with another great, great episode. And special guest joining us, Blake Fryers, is going to join us. He's going to discuss, he's from the Debate Hockey Podcast, and we're going to discuss the Pacific Division at the quarter point of the season. 20 games in, we'll break down that. A little note, he's a Canucks fan, so we are going to give him a run for his money, get his blood pressure pumping, and because Vancouver... Yeah, they are not so good. Please, Flames fans, remember it is November Hockey Fights Cancer Month. If you can, I'd appreciate it. Get on over to hockeyfightscancer.com. Do your part, make your donation. You can also get a link to that on flamesunfiltered.com. While you're on that website, you can listen to all the old shows, get some Flames news, stay up to date on what's going on in Calgary. Thanks to all the listeners. We truly appreciate it. Each and every one of you, check us out on social media at Flames Unfiltered. Subscribe to us on YouTube at Inside Edge Hockey Media Group. Rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff over at Apple Podcasts. That helps us out. We appreciate everything. Have a good American Thanksgiving to all our American listeners. It is the first marker point of the season now, and we're going to talk a lot more next week. Be super happy, Flames fans. We have a lot to be thankful for this year. It's been so fun to turn on the games every night when you feel like you can win. Boy, has it been fun. See you next week. Let's talk hockey. Have a good week, Flames fans. Let's pick up some more wins.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.